Okay, so when I went there, Wilma asked me to present the paper here, and I frankly didn't know for sure what should I do, because I don't have any interesting, sexy stories in experimental work. I am not an experimental scientist, and I'm sort of old-fashioned type of work, and yet we are an entomologist here, and we are working with a group of organisms which is a lot, take up most of the biodiversity in the world. And so at the same time, and I have spent my whole life in entomology and associated with the disciplines for almost 40 years, I thought maybe an opportunity to summarize what I have done and how I did and where I am, and that's how my story comes on. As you see, I will have a lot to say, and so what I decided to do was try to start out with a current issues of biodiversity, and then how that's related to a global warmings and other issues, and then a kind of a work which I have done, how that contributed to the science, advancement of science at large, and that should cover time of the period which I am allowed to do that. And you have, for the last several years, heard a lot about we are in trouble, and in some sense that we started worrying about how we are going to mitigate the kind of mistakes we have made in the last century. And the primary concerns, of course, population issues. We just have too many people, and then humans take up all the ecosystem services and productions are using it up. And top of that, that the population increase is pertaining to greatly in the developing nations. So we have global warming problems. But since this idea was presented, and finally this year, if the industrialized nations, including the United States, accepted, it's all more than 20 years. So ultimately what it comes down to is that we have too many people, and everybody got richer, at least at the advanced countries. Now everybody else in the world, including China, want to be richer, like Americans do or Europeans do, and the land are transformed, and that's where all the problem started out with. So I just want you to accept the fact that global warming is real, and we have to deal with it, whether we like it or not. And we have waited 20 years before United States, for example, accepted these issues. And so what we are now facing up to is this is, before we talk about greenhouse gas emission issues, and which is getting worse and worse. What I have to look at it is, as a 1992 declaration pointed out, biodiversity loss is real. Now, top of that, with the global warming issues, biodiversity loss will be accelerated. And so it is about the time everybody accept the fact biodiversity is threatened. To do that, then we have to understand what is the essence of biodiversity issue whole is, and that's the what I want to start out explaining. That we have been hearing from United Nations, many different groups, sustainable development. What ultimately comes down to is biosphere or landscapes, the ecosystem at large has been transformed or degraded. And so we have to come up with ecologically sustainable biodiversity issues as the basic ultimate issues which we have to deal with, mainly because biodiversity is the core of a supporting a life support system. So I just want to review Ecology 101, and we have a biosphere. I even begin to think we are transforming into the chemosphere. And more time goes on. And the biodiversity is something most of people think something else beyond our daily life. But the fact is, it's a part of our life. Economic development, whole lot of things. And we are completely rely upon ecosystem services, what our nature provides, but there is also being threatened. So quickly summarize what the biodiversity is, refers to the totality of all living organisms, related to the variation and variety of all different organisms in their ecological roles and so on and so forth. So it can be discussed in different terms, ecosystem form. And so when you look at the animal in the ecosystem level on the right-hand side, I mean, you have to think in terms of not the animal, but what entire system supports survival of that particular animal. It could be a human, could be deer, could be anything else. And the pollination with the bee, when you look at the bee, don't look at just the bee as a bee. What bee does, it contributes to the supporting system. And then you have the germplasm issue the same way. And therefore, we have to understand it's not one species or two species. We are talking interactions of all different species, which forms the organizational patterns of our living system. And so that the biodiversity should be looked at is a basic natural resources form a human enterprise, as well as a capital asset for the supporting our life support systems. So we are rely upon ecosystem function and products. That's what the agriculture does. Everything else we do. And so I want you to emphasize the biodiversity is a sustaining humanity at large. But the problem is, we really don't know that much. Despite what you think, our knowledge base of the biodiversity is very small. At the same time, we are destroying habitats where biodiversity needs, while that the way human population continues to increase. And so I'll just give you just a quick rundown. Over 250 years, and since the period of Linnaeus, we have come up with 1.75 million species described. And there is a breakdown of what they are. Insects play a very, very important role in terms of number game as well as their functionalities. And so how much do we know about them? And beyond the vertebrates and the vascular plants and all other group of organisms, our knowledge base is sometimes less than 10%. And in the meantime, ecosystems are primarily maintained by those species. So if you even look at North America, we have for almost one century entomologists study the North American insects and arachnids. I give you just the arachnid in here, but the insects are about 50% known in North America, and then arachnids is far less. And then the other point is, biodiversity as we understand today is built by taxonomists in 250 year periods. So now if you start thinking about a number game, is a 10 million species is commonly accepted as a number we currently exist on this planet. Our knowledge base is less than 20%. And so foundations of this science now has been declined to the point now a crumbled almost. And but the sole vehicle of the that built the knowledge of biodiversity is a what we call taxonomy. Okay. And so biological research begins with a species and must know correct identity of species being studied. So the experimental work shows. And your laboratory culture genetically may not be the same as what you find in the field. And I will tell you something about it, why that is so. So taxonomy as what we have today and the taxonomy of the global biodiversity does not match as we like to see. We believe they are the same. They do not. And so that from here on, and we have come up with a different approach to a taxonomic issues and related to the global biodiversity. At the same time, we are losing them rapidly. And what they are so far documented are the numbers given here. Point which I'm trying to make is not a what we so far identified to be in the, lost, endangered, and threatened. Rather, a evolutionary rate, I mean, the extinction rates of the what human-caused rate is a very, very high, maybe 100 times, maybe even 1,000 times higher than the natural background rate. At the same time, they are continuously increasing because of the human activities. Now we are facing with the global warming issues. And at the same time, you can look at the cost in the other way. What's the loss of the ecosystem services due to humanity values? Maybe $33 trillion as Costanza in 1997 estimated. If you look at those in terms of all different kinds of functions, ecosystem moves, and how is all different biodiversity living organisms involved, and they estimated something in the range of, say, $45 to $60 trillion worth of ecosystem functions and products is coming out. So we are catching up very quickly just as one species, and while all other species has to rely on as well. And so taxonomy as stands today is a very dismal in many different ways. Many institutions no longer teach taxonomy as a discipline. And many of the scientists no longer study taxonomy. But the most of the biologists were taxonomists until 1900s, early 1900s. And so we have seen the decline of taxonomic work and as early as 1980s. And is not only United States, it's worldwide. And so now I want you to think about do we really need additional information on biodiversity as we estimate 10 million? And if we wanted to do that, how many people we would need? And how many years we can master at least say two-thirds of what we have? So in every angle you look at, we are in trouble. But the funny part of it is that we need a taxonomic information more than ever in human history, mainly because biodiversity is not just a number game or just this species or that species. It is the organizations of all living organisms which support our system and our economic development ultimately. And so I just wanted to tell you now is that how I got where I am and how I dedicated myself to my work up to this point. I started out as a dedicated high school teacher. I don't even know the name anymore. But once he inspired, intrigued, provided, and the determination made, and I kept going from natural history to a taxonomy systematics. Ever since then, I looked at many different areas of interest related to that. I did not want to change anything. I just want to learn what they are, how they can be applied to well-being of humanity. So, since the seventh grade, I have worked hard, and when I was the youngest age, I spent most of the time in the field on weekends, and despite a lot of people's disdain, because kids is not going to prepare for a job or prepare for work, or chasing the snakes and butterflies and so on and so forth. And since then, I have been involved with this thing, particularly during the Korean War. I have spent a lot of times, because I had to hide out from my occupation force, and I observed the spider behaviors, and I made a lot of observational notes for that. Ever since then, I moved into all that kind of work. So college work life, I worked on amphibians, snakes, and insects, and so on. But the interesting thing that occurred in my life is that there were, toward the end of the Korean War, there were an American medical entomologist came to Seoul. And they were prominent people I got to work with later years. And some of the names you perhaps know, George Byers at the University of Kansas, and Phyllis Johnson, who is in USARS, and so on and so forth. And then with their connections, I ended up with going to University of Montana, where I did the zoology major, and while working at the Rocky Mountain Laboratory with a medical entomologist, and who turned out to be many of my University of Minnesota alumni. So with their influence, I went to University of Minnesota, and that's where I have luckily landed up with a very productive, very friendly group of scientists. And that's where my interest in a very wide-ranging area of biodiversity. And started out the morphology, taxonomy, old-fashioned stuff. And then I ended up with I have been working in a kind of work which I do now related to biodiversity. So I ended up with a very different group of insects. Sucking lice is one of the major areas I worked. Both worked with the stoneflies, hemipterans, dipterans, and so on. Trained a lot of the distinguished taxonomists as well. And I ended up publishing a number of books as a sort of a summation of what I have been doing. So this, just to give you a quick rundown of kind of work which I have done. Taxonomically, I worked with Spheroceres dungflies. Started with the morphological work and so on. And I had two major workers with me, and they are now a productive fly specialist in the world, and Al Nobaum and Hoyen Han. And then black flies, I opportunistically engaged with, and for which we have now Peter Adler at the Clemson, who is a leading specialist. And then Tephridid is another group of flies I worked with, and we have Alan Novan and again Hoyen Han, who is the two leading specialists in the world at this point. Along with it, I worked with a different fast. We provided the Black Flies of Pennsylvania work. Eventually, we published the Black Flies of the World work, and then other groups and different groups of insects, and then their ecology-related work done. And sucking lice, I have done a number of different things. One of the classic we have accomplished is what the German colleague in 1978, family classification of anopheles, and that's still accepted and used by worldwide. And then North American sucking lice work, and this is a cover of the work which we published. And then what I have done through that, I started looking at the external parasites of mammals and birds. And I was interested in the behavior and community structures of those organisms, because looking at the individual animal as an island upon which a different parasite resides. And therefore, I learned sort of a minute microcosms of the ectoparasitic community, and that resulted in a coevolution of parasitic arthropods and mammals in 1985. To do that, came up with I have done a very different kind of community ecology work on ectoparasites of mammals, and this is one of the shining summary of the ectoparasites work I published in 1985 with all the distinguished specialists at the time. And then I come up with here a taxonomy evolution of infraspecific variation work. And this is what I started out with a graduate student in Itasca Biological Station, and working with a host variations of the species of sucking lice. From there on, I have been focusing on polytypic species and the variation of the population variation of the polytypic species in a different group of insects, and ultimately ended up with studying in evolution and mechanisms of infraspecific variation. So that work was summed up in 1993, evolution insects of pests and patterns of variation. And then also application of my entomological knowledge to a forensic work. So I have been doing a forensic practice for about 25 years. So what comes down to is a biodiversity crisis in a late 80s in the United States. I happened to be working with a group of a prominent scientists and led by Tom Lovejoy, as called a systematics and conservation working group. And there I was inspired, so I just moved into a biodiversity world at large, and ever since the second phase of my career was carried on. So as I have done that, I established the Center of Biodiversity Research at Penn State, and through which I had a number of different things done. And we have, sort of 1991, before real conference, we had a week-long international conference and on biodiversity called a Biodiversity Landscapes, and that was published by the Cambridge University Press. And then biodiversity assessment conducted for the last 10 years, and a number of different work related to biodiversity issues. Before then, in 1980s, there were a considerable interest going on in North America as to a biodiversity crisis issues and decline of taxonomy. At the same time, also issues pertaining to decline of collection support. So my association with the Association of Systematic Collections, we had a national conference for it. And then 1990s, biodiversity systematics movement began. Lloyd Knutson, for example, ARS, he established the Institute of Systematics and related discipline under the ARS, and didn't last too long. 6 months later, they had a reorganization. And Tom Lovejoy, as a World Wildlife Fund's executive secretary, he has led this group of what they eventually called the Systematics and the Biodiversity Group and so on. And Peter Abens and Michael Kostrov looked at the North American insects and many others. So with the emergence of a center at Penn State, I have focused on a Pennsylvanian biodiversity issues. And it's from 1991 to 2001. So we have assessments done, infrastructure building, and so on and so forth. Same time, attention also moved to Korea when I took a sabbatical in 1993-94. And this was the book published at Cambridge as a result of the 1991 international conference we held. And then in Korea, and we have what I call the Biodiversity Korea 2000 was successful, and this produced a biodiversity assessment of South Korea, and that effort is still in prevailing. At the same time, in 2001, we had to find a way to educate the public to biodiversity, and this booklet was published, and this has published over 20,000 copies, and then now is a second edition is being revised. So along with that, I decided that I would look at the Korean issues, and back in late 60s after finishing my degree, and ever since then I have been involved in different way and related to the Korean environment. So 1975-76, I took a sabbatical, and being in an American, and a first national conference in human environment was organized and then carried out. And then again, another sabbatical, and in 1993-94, and the Korean biodiversity assessment was done. And the preservation of since 1995, I have been heavily involved in the preservation of Korea's DMZ corridor for conservation and peace. And that is going well, and hopefully within a few years going to be wrapped up. So I give you simply a scientist perspective of Korean environmental issues, which is a reminiscence for many others. It's, for example, economic development urbanization Korea started in 1962, and ended up with a now known as the one of the worst environmental countries in the world. And 2005, and the South Korea was a 140 out of 160 some nations reviewed, and North Korea is last of those. And then out of that, the DMZ issues involved, and the DMZ work is now going on, as I already told you. And there are DMZ eventually comes down to is a preserving an area for the protective areas, and can be applied for different functions. And so without going too further on that, and anybody interested in this subject area, please let me know. I can provide you all that kind of information. Now, Korea is at the point is that the Korean population is rapidly increasing, and the biodiversity condition is deteriorating rapidly. And so eventually, in order to do a conservation efforts, they have to preserve a DMZ as a basis upon which Pan-Korean conservation can be organized. So just to give you as a concluding remark, as anthropologists, a challenge to expand the knowledge base of insects and related arachnids, the most diverse groups of organisms, and the two of the global biodiversity that is estimated to be approximately 10 million species, as I already pointed out. Knowledge base is still less, and the North American situation isn't any better. So what we have to now face to reality is that global warming and climate change demands more biodiversity informations beyond what we know today. And the biodiversity should not be looked upon as something aesthetic over there in concept. It is a real, it is what we are living with. And so we have knowledge, we have to make a lot of efforts to do that. And then taxonomy, in essence, has to be repackaged in some sense. And in order to get a global biodiversity explored and documented. And so I have last year published a paper related to a taxonomy, community ecology, and applications brought together as called biodiversity science. Because biodiversity science offers a realistic new approach to meet the societal needs for taxonomy and biodiversity, resolving many contemporary problems related to ecosystem management. And so biodiversity science is one way of rescuing and perhaps reviving taxonomy, because a society demands a taxonomic information. And just as a concluding remark, and thank you very much.